Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are continuing our sermon series on Holy Communion. This is our fourth Sunday in the journey, and the last three Sundays, we've talked about some hard topics that have made us think a little bit. And I mentioned when we first started this that I hoped that you would come to me if you had questions. And so I thought today we would answer a couple of those questions and get into the nitty-gritty of communion a little bit. So it is no secret that I love children, and I think that they are absolutely amazing. I love children of all ages, but there's something about the two-year age that is so endearing for me. I could tell you all of the things I love about that age. But one of the things that's absolutely incredible is how their vocabulary and imaginations are growing exponentially during that year. Their personalities are sweet and funny. Their minds are like a sponge. They're learning and putting so many things together. And I love how curious two-year-olds are about the world. And they satisfy that curiosity by asking the famous question, why? And asking it multiple times. They're really trying to make sense of the world around them. And asking why helps them to understand what things mean and why things are the way that they are and how things happen. But sadly, somewhere along the way, we stop asking questions. Maybe it's because we feel embarrassed if we don't know something that we think we should, and so we don't let on to others that we don't know. Maybe it's because somewhere along the way we were taught that it wasn't safe to ask questions. Maybe the people that we ask questions of would get irritated and they'd find us and our questions an annoyance. And I know that sometimes in the church, we don't ask questions because we're afraid of what people might think of us, or they think we might be stupid, or we feel like we should already know something. But dear ones, questions and curiosity are a beautiful thing. And just like for two-year-olds, questions and curiosity helps us make sense of the world around us. And asking questions helps us understand what things mean, and why they are the way they are, and how things happen. So let's get into a few questions that I have been asked recently. What are the plate and cup for communion called? They are called the paten, the plate, and the chalice, the cup. Paten is a medieval Latin word that means plate for the bread of the Eucharist. Chalice is also a medieval Latin word, and it means drinking cup. We've talked about before how in the church we have our own vocabulary, and oftentimes things in the church have a distinct name because they are set apart, right? And this isn't just for a plate, right? This isn't just any plate that we have on the table. It's a plate to hold the Eucharist bread, the body of Christ. And by the way, I'm sharing all of this with you, not so that you memorize it, because there's not going to be a test, but so that if you hear people talking about it, if you hear me talking about it, you're like, oh yeah, I remember the paten. Yeah, that's the plate for the communion bread. And I really want you to understand that every single thing we do in worship has meaning to what it is and to why we do it. Nothing is arbitrary and nothing is by accident in worship. The next question, why do the communion elements have to be consumed after worship? So you've heard me tell the children before that if they want after worship, they can come up and eat the leftover bread. And one time there was a kid who was drinking the wine too. He was going with the little individual cups, the body of Christ for me, the blood of Christ for me, the blood of Christ for me. I really just invite them to eat the leftover bread, but this is a really good question. Why do the communion elements have to be consumed after worship? Well, for us Lutherans, communion is a sacrament. It's not a symbol. Sacraments are a means of grace, a way that God gives grace to us. When God's word is spoken over the elements and is proclaimed over the bread and the wine, the presence of Christ becomes a part of them. In the Large Catechism, Martin Luther wrote this: "The true body and blood of the Lord Christ are in and under the bread and wine." It is true indeed that if you take the word away from the elements or view them apart from the word, you have nothing but ordinary bread and wine. The true body and blood of the Lord Christ are in and under the bread and wine. This happens in the words of institution. There are two words of God, right? There's Scripture, and then there's Jesus, the Word made flesh. When Jesus' words are spoken over the elements, Jesus becomes a part of them. This is why communion is so special, and this is why it's not just symbolic. Jesus truly becomes part of the elements, right? When we hand you the elements here at the font, I don't say, "Here's a piece of bread for you." I say, "This is the body of Christ. This is the blood of Christ. This isn't ordinary bread. This isn't ordinary wine." The true presence of Jesus becomes part of them. Just as Mary held Jesus in her arms, we hold in our hands every single Sunday the body and blood of Christ. And when Jesus becomes a part of the elements, they are consecrated. They are set apart. They are made holy. And once the bread and wine are consecrated, the presence of Jesus doesn't leave them after communion is over. And so we treat what remains with reverence and respect, which means we don't dispose of the bread and wine like we would dispose of other food and drink. We either consume it or return it to the earth. For the bread, that means it needs to either be eaten or taken outside and scattered on the ground, not put in the garbage. We wouldn't put the presence of Jesus in the trash, would we? The same is true of the crumbs. After you all leave every Sunday and before I depart, you'll see me on my hands and knees picking up all the crumbs that scattered during us giving communion. Because even in the tiniest crumb is the presence of Jesus. And we want to treat it with respect and reverence. The wine can either be consumed or returned to the earth as well. In some cases, this literally means taking the chalice outside and pouring it on the ground. But many churches, like ours, have a special sink in the sacristy called a sacrarium. What's special about this sink is that the pipe from the sink doesn't go to the sewer, it goes directly to the ground underneath the church, so that when the wine is poured in that pipe, it is returned to the earth. This is also used to rinse the paten and chalice so that any remains on those dishes also get returned to the earth as well. Sacrarium and sacristy both come from the Latin word for holy. Right, this sink and this room aren't just a regular sink or a room. They are set apart for a sacred purpose, just like the paten, just like the chalice. A sacristy is a room where sacred objects are kept, like the paten and chalice, like altar cloths, like our table linens, like our vestments for every season of the church calendar. And it is in this room that the most sacred meal we have is prepared for us. Beloved, just like the paten and the chalice, the sacristy and the sacrarium, you too are set apart for a sacred purpose. in your baptism, you were marked with the cross of Christ forever, and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, and you were given a new name, Beloved, Child of God. Because you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, the presence of God is within you, and the sacred purpose you are set apart for is to live out the promises of baptism, to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. We are set apart for this, beloved. So may we live as though we are set apart because we are. And may we live into our sacred name. And may we live it out. Beloved, may we be loved. And may we be love. Amen.